The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Holy shit, Gabe's a mess. He's got pizza all over the damn place. It's episode 120 of Thinking Outside the Long Box with Gabe and Juan.
Again. Now we're recording.
Let's get this shit together, Juan.
I don't know what we're recording.
Oh, we just talked about this.
You're right. I remember now.
We're doing pop culture classics.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 120 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
Those two other bitches ain't here. That's shocking.
Wow. That was weird. Shocked me again.
It's got a short.
Weird. I wonder if it's in there.
It's probably in the mic, if the mic is shocking you.
You think?
Yeah.
We'll see.
Excuse me. Sorry. Pizza and watermelon beer.
Yeah, it's a little staticky. I wonder if that's so much power.
Power.
It's working, though, so who knows?
There you go. So this episode today, we're going to be talking about our pop culture classic picked by Doyle this time. If you'd like to join Doyle in picking pop culture classics, you can do so by going to our Patreon page at patreon.com/TOTLB. This time, Doyle picked for us The Fifth Element,
A
movie that a lot of people have seen. Next? Yeah, I believe
we
so.
We need to find a pick.
We'll figure it out.
Well, I'm sure everybody is. Who hasn't seen The Fifth Element?
Well, Hannah hadn't.
Well, she's like 7.
I know. I'm just saying.
Like
she's 8. But she
Sorry,
had,
everybody.
She Jesus. Hadn't seen it.
Well, I'm sure she hadn't. You're kind of like that.
So what did you think? Like, did you go
I
back and rewatch it?
Yeah, we literally just
I watched
it
today
right
too. Yeah,
right before you watched it, right before you walked in. I love it. It's a movie that I don't know when it came out. Should I go look that?
Yeah,
up?
You have the computer. You can look it up this time. Usually bring it up on my phone beforehand, but I chose not to do that because I'm lazy.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
you have a whole computer and stuff. So, like, this is a movie that I haven't seen in quite a while. Like, I want to say, like, at least, like, 5 or 6 years. And it's one of those movies that I always think to myself that I find the beginning kind of boring, and I really, really like the middle, and then I find the end kind of boring.
What?
And it still kind of did that to me again. Like, there's something about this movie. I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I really, really like this movie. But there's something about the pacing of this movie that's, like, really weird to me. It's like it has a very slow beginning, a really hyperkinetic middle, and, like, a very slow end. Like, I don't know. It's just a weird thing to me. Tell us a little bit about the movie, though.
So, it came out in 1997.
So, you graduated from high school.
Woof, goddamn, you're old.
Yeah.
My wife's looking at you funny.
What? That's the year I got graduated in high school.
That's the year I got graduated in high school.
I know. That almost was got graduated in English. So, you were in middle school? Calm down.
97, you weren't 10, you were 11. I was 10 in 97. So, I wasn't in middle school, I was in elementary school.
I'm only like 7 years older than you guys.
I was in middle school.
Or whatever. Are we really going to make me do this again?
It's an English language, French science fiction action film, directed and co-written by Luc Besson.
Yeah, Luc Besson.
Besson. It stars Bruce Willis, Gary Oldman, Mila Jovovich. Primarily set in the 23rd century, the film's central plot involves the survival of planet Earth, which becomes the responsibility of Corbin Dallas, a taxicab driver and former Special Forces major, after a young woman falls into his cab.
I think you said his name wrong. I think his name is said Corbin! 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 Save my life, Corbin! Me too. I love Chris Rock, but I like Chris Tucker in this movie.
Oh,
a lot
yeah,
better.
Me too. Yeah. B- Bassan started writing the story that became The Fifth Element when he was 16 years old. He was 38 when the film opened in cinemas. Jesus.
So do you know other Luc Besson movies? No. So he did The Professional.
I don't like it.
You don't?
No.
Have you even seen it?
I don't like The Professional.
Why not?
I just don't like it.
He made Unchained. It's the Jet Li movie where they keep him like as an animal for pit fighting. And then he gets loose and he goes crazy. If you look up Luc Besson, you'll see that he's done actually like quite a few pretty big name movies over the last few years.
Comics artists John Mobius Grod and Jean-Claude Maziers, whose books provided inspiration for parts of the film, were hired for production design. The Fifth Element received mainly positive reviews, although it tended to polarize critics. It has been called both the best and the worst summer blockbuster of all time. Wow, that's pretty...
That's kind of harsh.
That's very harsh, yeah. The film was a financial success, earning more than $263 million at the box office on a $90 million budget. That's a pretty big success.
Yeah.
At the time of its release, it was the most expensive European film ever made. That's weird. I didn't know it was a European film. That's cool.
Yeah.
And it remained the highest grossing French film at the international box office until the release of The Untouchables in 2011. Wow.
So
97 to 2007, 8, 9, 10, 11, 14 years.
It's a long time.
The highest grossing European film. No, French film.
That's pretty crazy.
That's a lot.
So he's also the guy that directed Valerian, which is the newer science fiction movie.
I didn't like that movie either.
See, this is what's interesting to me is because I think it has to do with my problems with the pacing in this movie. Like, since it's a French film directed by a French person, written from like a French perspective,
right?
Their ideas behind how film should work aren't necessarily the same as ours. I think that might be part of why you don't like his other movies and why I have like some weird issues with the pacing in this one. It's just because they have a sensibility that like things can take way more time than they need to a lot of the time. And this movie, like the very big, the whole scene in 1914 when, you know, the guy is, you know, in the archaeological dig and stuff. That whole 10 to 12 minute segment of the movie could have very easily been done in 2 minutes. Like, it's like the simplest thing, but they just take forever and they build the character of like the, you know, the old archaeologist and his friend that's helping him. And even the little boy who's falling asleep holding the sun thing. I shouldn't know nearly that much about that character
the guy trying to kill him
for like a throwaway backstory, you know, in the movie. So I think that's part of why you may not enjoy his other movies too, is because they have like a very different sensibility.
Right.
To them.
That makes sense. I don't know. I think I like it because it spent a little bit of time telling you what the fuck's going on. And then you kind of get the action scene and, you know, fucking Lilou Dallas, or do we call her Lilou Dallas? Lilou falls from the sky into the cab and shit. And there's a lot of action going on for there. And then I like that in the middle where she finds the priest, you have to kind of know what, like, who she is and what, because I didn't understand that at first either. I'm like, well, okay, I thought these aliens were fucking coming back, you know. Then all of a sudden this random ass chick falls from the sky onto this dude, you know.
Yeah.
You see a little bit of what's going on, but I like it because it explains some things that I would have not put together, I don't think, myself originally.
Right on. I don't know. Like I said, I really like the movie, but some of it is
throwaway. Chris Tucker making, you know, having sex with this stewardess lady while they're shooting bugs out from under the plane. Didn't need to be there. You know what I mean? I get some of that, but
it's funny, and it's like funny in like a comic book sense, which is kind of what he was trying to create, was this visual version of like a French comic, and like Valerian is like directly from like one of Mobius's comic books. So
I don't like that movie. It was awful.
I understand that. But it's just interesting that like some of the stuff.
There is a lot of fucking goofs in this movie from IMDb. Holy cannoli.
Like there's so many things that I think I would love in comic books that in this movie and his other movies, I don't think translate like the best.
I don't, it's hard. I mean, if movies just in history are, you know, some kind of, track record, it's hard to transfer a book to a movie and make it as good as you thought it was in the book.
Right.
It goes with anything. I don't know. It's hard. That's not an easy task, which is weird because a book or a comic book is essentially just a script.
Right.
Just weird to me.
Well, I mean, a comic book is literally storyboarded for you.
Right.
Like it's, there you go. But then you got to change it just enough that a comic book artist isn't like, I made that.
There's a lot. I mean, I can pick and choose a few.
Yeah, let's hear a few. Let's hear a few of the goofs.
Literally, like 100 things on this page.
Nice. Well, let's hear some funny ones.
Well, fuck, I haven't read them all. I don't know.
No, only funny ones. God damn it.
Character error in the penultimate scene in the temple. Ruby, unable to light the Firestone because he has no matches, claims that he would have some if he had not quit smoking. However, he has seen smoking earlier in the film, the cigarette being lit by one of his toadies. Ruby has not so much quit smoking as he has, being a galaxy class VIP, quit lighting his own cigarettes.
That's not so much of a goof as like funny. A really funny character foible.
When they arrive at the temple, Cornelius holds up a stone with the lines going across the bottom of it. Corbin takes it, but in the next shot he is holding a stone with the lines running up it. There's literally fucking thousands. Cornelius describes two different stones as representing fire. In the beginning at the Egyptian temple, while speaking to the priest, the professor has his cup in his right hand, then a brush, then the cup again, all while speaking the same sentence. That's kind of weird.
He's going like this. Pop, 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 pop. Brush cup, brush cup, brush cup.
Once the match is going, its angle changes as Dallas lowers it. That's not very... Reflected in the security window in Corbin's cab as he speeds away from the cops and loses the last point on his license. I don't even know what the fuck that means.
Oh, no. Something is reflected.
Let's look at some plot holes. After Lelou has... Whoa, L-E-E-L-O-O. I did not know that. I don't think I've ever paid that much attention to the little card.
Oh.
Has fallen into the taxi and is pleading with Corbin for help. She sees a sign that says, please help, and instantly understands how those two words are pronounced. For her, the alphabet should appear as gibberish, and even if she were able to realize that she was looking at writing and surmise the meaning, she should have no idea how to pronounce it.
Yeah, except for that she's a perfect being. Created from all five of the elements. From
these weird fat... Yeah. Are they robots?
No, I think they're aliens inside. I think they're like Daleks, kind of, where there's like a little being inside of there.
Yeah.
But with less exterminate and more like...
Create.
They're basically the opposite of the Daleks. That's why they're fat, too.
Of all the flying taxis in New York, Lelou just happens to fall on the only one being flown by a semi-retired secret agent.
You don't know that? You don't know how many semi-retired secret agents there are out there?
The hotel bomb detection system takes 10 minutes to detect the bomb.
I always love that.
Indeed, it only sets off the alarms when Ruby Rod mentions this.
Yeah, that's always been one of my favorite things in the movie where, hey, what is that? Is that a bomb? No, there's bomb detectors. Suddenly bomb detected.
I mean, I could set a bomb off for 9 minutes if it's going to take 10 minutes to detect it.
Right. It just makes no kind of sense, because if there's bomb detectors, it would have detected it immediately, I would assume. I don't really know the technology behind future world bomb detectors, so...
We never really find out what the main, like, bad guy is, either, except for, like, a planet
thing. It's like a Galactus idea. Like, it just consumes universes.
But Galactus is a being.
Well, I know. It is a being, though. Yeah. Like, they say it's alive.
Well, yeah, but...
And it talks. Know. It's Mr. Shadow.
It's weird.
It's Mr. Shadow.
I don't like that.
That's the name he gave himself.
No, I know. I don't mean I don't like the name. I mean I don't like the villain.
You don't get to pick his name, though. His name's Mr. Shadow.
I don't care about that.
She even says Mr. Shadow is on the phone for you. Also, is it weird that they have phones? Yeah, big time.
Is it?
Dude, in the year 2347, like, think about how much the phone has evolved in like 20 years.
Yeah, But I mean,
dude, we didn't even have cell phones when you were a kid.
Yeah, but Republicans want to take cell phones away.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I'm just kidding.
Republicans want to take guns away. Wait, no.
No.
That's the other ones.
Yeah.
They want to take my weed away. That's what they want to take away.
And your non-religion.
Oh, yeah. And my not like religion.
Yeah. I love this movie, though.
Yeah, it's an amazing
movie. I don't know why I sound so apathetic, but I love the movie.
So it's weird to me that the fifth element is love, though. That always annoyed me.
Why?
I don't know. It's just so cheesy. Like, why can't it be her, like, strong spirit or like, you know, cheese or something? Like, something really weird and different.
Do you think
it's love?
Or do you think that just kind of manifested her strength?
Or maybe it's hope or something like that. Like, it's something super doofy.
Well, I feel like...
It doesn't work until she says...
I thought she was the fifth element.
Right, but the fifth element is something that's inside of her, and it doesn't manifest until Dallas tells her that he loves her.
I never read that scene that way. I always read it that she just didn't want to. Like, she could turn her power or manifest or do whatever you were going to assume is happening in that fucking scene.
Exploding.
But she's like, why do it? Like, I don't give a fuck. And I think that's the way I interpreted it was she just didn't care. Like, let it blow up. I don't give a fuck, you know, because I don't feel anything because she's watched, you know, all this
war,
other bullshit and stuff. So I think him saying he loved her was just to make her feel like, okay, we should save this, you know what I mean? Maybe there is hope, like you said, or some shit, but I don't think that was necessarily the element or whatever. I think that was just a catalyst for her to be like, all right, turn my powers on.
What do you think light exploding feels like? Do you think it feels like she's just barfing like crazy?
I've never barfed that hard, I'll tell you that
I'm
much.
I'm just saying, like, that feels like it would feel just like this massive barf. You're just like,
I've never barfed.
That's what I'm saying. Crazy. That's all I'm saying. That's what it looks like it would feel like. I don't know. I've seen this movie enough times that was my immediate first thought in that end scene. Was like, man, it just looks like she's barfing like crazy right now.
Keep going.
I bet that feels weird. Those were my first thoughts in that scene this time.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Somebody had given us some thoughts on the fifth element, I believe.
I think it was Herb, right?
Herb?
Herb.
Herb Dean?
Herb Cuevas.
I don't think that's...
I know.
I don't think that's how you say his name.
I know for a fact it's not how you say his name. That's why I say it like that.
It says, when it comes to the fifth element, did anyone else think that Valerian would have been a much better movie had they put Bruce and Mila in it instead?
The only problem with that, like, A, you would have to work with Bruce Willis again.
Maybe he liked Bruce Willis.
I doubt it.
A lot of people have worked with Bruce Willis, and there's only one guy out there who says he's a dick.
Right, but he's like the coolest guy. So, like, I take his advice over all others. I wouldn't work with him.
I would.
Yeah, I would too.
Probably give me more followers.
Yeah, it would also, like, make us a lot of money. So, anyway, so the only problem with that is since Valerian has, like, actual source material, like, to change the...
Some nerd is going to cry about it?
Yeah, like, somebody... But that would be, like, really actually, like, disrespectful to, like, the source material to say, hey, here's this, like, comic book-esque movie that I created 15 years ago. I'm going to take my characters out of it and just change the names of your characters. Thanks for helping me on my last movie, douchebag. Fuck you. My characters are better than yours.
I don't think that he would have said it quite like that.
I mean, he would have said it more politely.
Comic material people would have said anything either because they would have been like, yeah, let's try and make some money. I don't think they did make any money. So maybe putting Bruce and Mila, they're like, fuck, we should have done that.
No, because I just think it's disrespectful of the source material. Like, let it stand on what it is, you know?
I'm with you. It didn't stand, by the way.
I like that movie. Like, I don't.
It was a monumental failure.
Oh, no, I understand that. I'm just saying I enjoyed it, but I also enjoy that particular series of comics. And I think I think it was more of a passion project for Luc Besson than a lot of people think it was, but it was like a super fucking expensive flop of a passion project.
Which
you know?
Is so weird. I've never understood how, like, getting 10 people to make a dinosaur costs less, like, robotics and it's got to fucking move and all that, costs less money than me faking a dinosaur on a computer with just by myself.
It's you know time. What I mean? It's literally time.
It's just so weird to me. But I assumed that practical effects take a shit ton of time, especially when it comes to things like that.
But they don't take as much time, and they don't take as many people. Like, because you
that's gotta, weird to think about.
Because, like, there's somebody that, like, wireframes it and creates its movement. There's somebody that, like, makes the skins for it. There's somebody that develops, like, the sound effects for it. Like, there's tons and tons of, like, little minute steps that all sorts of different people work on. Whereas, like, a practical effect, you have, like you said, a team of 10 people and they just build it. Like, there's not, I mean, I'm sure there's some division of labor to it, but it takes less people and less time.
I don't necessarily believe that, especially when it comes to, let's just say, Jurassic Park. You know, because you've got 10 people building, let's just say, because that's a round number, 10 people building one dinosaur in that movie, there was probably fucking 30 or 40.
No, you know but like I mean? The same group of people built all of it.
No, I know, but I'm saying that takes a lot of time. I just feel like a group of 10 people can make a world faster on a computer than a group of 10 people building a practical set and effects.
They can make a big world faster. Like, they can make huge armies a lot faster, but they can't make, like, one big thing as fast. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, but I just,
like, so if you look at Jurassic Park, the original one, all the stuff that was done, like, wide out to make, like, a big field of dinosaurs and stuff, that wasn't practical effects. And that's, I think that's where digital special effects are most useful, is in creating, like, a big thing. Does that kind of make sense?
Yes. I don't necessarily agree with it, but it makes sense.
Well, I'm right. No, I'm just kidding. I don't even know.
I don't know. I just feel like I could... A guy who... Not me, because I don't know how to do either one of those things.
Right.
I just feel like a team could build a Gabe faster on a computer than a team could build a Gabe in practical.
I don't think so. I think a team could build a Gabe in like a few days. And I think
I feel like a dude could do it in a day.
I don't think so. I think to make something as realistic as me without doing like body molding and stuff like that would, I mean, because you could live cast me and make a mask that goes over on a pre-made armature like in a few hours. You know what I'm saying? Right. I don't know.
It's just weird to me. It's just weird. And it's not even like close to the same amount of money. It is way more expensive.
For sure.
That's weird to me. I'm just giving Doyle shit.
I know.
So last week's episode, we talked about Attack the Block, and Doyle is because he's slow and fat. He had this to say about that movie. I just really love the movie. The aliens feel authentic and totally different from anything I've seen before. The setting is the same as well.
It should be before, period. The setting is the same as well. The serious comedic approach of the movie was done really well, my opinion.
The darkness of the aliens was super well done. I just thought for a low-budget film that no one seems to be aware of, it somehow managed to be my favorite alien movie made in the past 4 to 5 years. Wow.
Oof, man, that's pretty high praise. You know, and so this is what's interesting about it is, like, take Attack the Block versus, like, The Fifth Element, okay? And you have Attack the Block, and here's this, like, very low-budget practical effects movie that is, like, super, super enjoyable, like, really easy to watch, a lot of fun, really well done, and, I mean, from the four people that I know that have watched it now, nobody dislikes it. Whereas The Fifth Element has, like, all this money poured into it, like, looks really, really slick, is super, super cool.
$93 million? Is that a lot of money?
That's, I mean...
Versus, let's see what Attack the Block
got built. But I just think it's interesting that, like, two movies with such...
Oh, yeah. There's a giant difference.
What is Attack, Attack the Block was made for $35?
It was made for 8 million euros. So I don't like know what that would be.
$16 million. Okay, somewhere in there.
That's a fucking big difference.
Yeah, it's a huge difference. Like, but it's interesting that like you get the right
and
group
it made 4.1 million euros.
Oof, so it lost like an ass load of money. Oh, man.
So watching The Fifth Element, it's janky. It looks janky. You know things look fucking weird and they look funny and it doesn't look right. You know, for 1997, it probably looked amazing, but I'm assuming it probably looked janky too.
Strange. Like everybody thought it would look so weird while we were watching it. It looked like low rent Star Wars, like, but in this like really cool way where everything looked natural, but like, that's definitely a dude in some kind of rubber suit. Like,
and just Milo's fighting, like she's slapping at one of the aliens for a couple seconds.
So weirdly corny. Like,
and that's the thing. I get it. Like, I don't know anybody that doesn't like the movie, but it's definitely something I don't think that you could make now exactly the way it was made and have it make money. I just don't think you could.
It's definitely not a perfect film.
No.
Like, it's good. It's a really
like
good
it.
Movie.
I would like, watch it again.
I for sure give it a thumbs up.
Me too.
Like, I just... not... Like, in hindsight, I'm just kind of like, okay, that's definitely from the 90s.
I was looking at, because we had talked about Chris Tucker being really young in this movie. He had done 1, 2, 3, 4. This was after Friday. Friday came out in 1995. I think he took a step backwards. 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't know. Do you really think that that's a step backwards?
No.
Because he got to make a movie with Bruce Willis and Mila Jovovich, but I don't know if Mila was really that famous yet.
She wasn't. I think this is like close to one of her first movies.
But he did The Meteor Man, House Party 3, which I'm sure nobody fucking watched. And then he did Friday, a movie called Panther. Then he did Money Talks, which I thought was funny, but I know nobody probably went and saw that movie either. And then The Fifth Element. And then he was in Jackie Brown.
Which is my favorite Quentin Tarantino movie.
And then Rush Hour came in 1998. So he took a big leap
like
forward.
Career jump. He went from making Friday, which is a great movie, but totally like low budget comedy.
100%.
Like probably made for
roughly $35.
But it's
one of his most famous movies.
Yeah.
It's one of his most famous
but
movies.
But like he went from like low budget independent film to... in a movie with Bruce Willis, right. To in the biggest action comedy series,
I just
probably
don't,
for a minute.
I just don't think, even though this was probably a big movie for its time, I don't think if you say, hey, what are your favorite Chris Rock, or what are your favorite Chris Tucker movies that you think were big box office movies?
You almost heard
me
correcting.
I know, you know, nobody, who's going to say The Fifth Element? Like, nobody.
I would, but that's just because I like this movie.
Me too, but it's not, I wouldn't think that it would have been a big budget
film. His character is a big part of the movie to me. Like, I think he's really, really funny. And like, come in! Like, his, like, just, he's so... like top to bottom annoying that it goes from like fuck that's funny to wow that's really annoying all the way back around to god damn it that's super funny. Like when he's like when he's like there's that big hole in the floor and he's laying on the floor and Dallas goes don't move and he shoots the circle around
him.
Fucking Tom and Jerry
so
style
to come out down.
And he just squeals as he's coming down and when he hits the floor he's just making this like high-pitched obnoxious squeal. That shit makes me laugh literally every time I see it. Like it is
he accidentally shoots the alien. I'm sorry, come in. It's funny. It's funny.
It is. I love that. Like,
I don't think...
When I think of Chris Tucker, the three movies I think of are Friday, Rush Hour, and this one. Like...
It's weird, because I think that I would probably think of Money Talks before this one, which is weird, because that was not a great movie with him and Charlie Sheen? Charlie Sheen. That's the two men and a half or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy. It's all about Diamond Heist. But I don't know why this just doesn't seem like... I always forget he's in the movie. You know what I mean? I always forget. And then I watch and I'm like, oh, fuck, I forgot he was in this movie.
When I think about Bruce Willis, I think about Die Hard, Die Hard 3, and then Die Hard 3 again.
With a Vengeance?
Yeah.
That's that one, right?
That one.
That's the best one.
That's the best one.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
My name is Zeus, as in I will shove a lightning bolt up your ass.
Why do you keep calling me Jesus?
I look Puerto Rican to you.
So those guys were calling you Jesus. No, he said, hey, Zeus.
Oh, man, that should be a pop culture classic.
I love that movie. Hey, we're next, bro. We can choose it. We have the power of the purse.
Should we? I don't know. I got lost. You said that, and I don't know. My brain, like, immediately shut down. It's like, shit, he's going to talk about math again. Oh, man. Final thoughts on
Fifth Element. Like I said, it is cheesy. It's something that I don't think now, even with Bruce Willis and Mila being the big stars that they are, I don't think it could have been made today.
Yeah, they would have a really rough time making this movie. And it's just so strange.
It is. It's strange. It seems really low budget, even though it wasn't low budget. I guess maybe low budget from
how can we make an expensive low budget movie?
Yeah, like it seems really fake to me. But I love the movie. It's if somebody has it on, like I'll probably end up sitting down watching it because it's fun. And I love damn near all of the actors in it, even the stupid little priests who are awful at acting.
And who are straight ripoffs of Jedis, by the way. Like, there's even a moment where they're walking through the halls holding, like, light tubes that look exactly like lightsabers, but, like, Walmart lightsabers. I'm like, God damn it. These guys are straight up Jedis. Like, it's so stupid.
But, I mean, it's strangely addictive, and I love the movie. I'll give it a thumbs up. That's easy.
I also give this one a thumbs up. I love it. It's a big part of growing up for me, like... One of the first movies me and my friends really obsessed over, like right around the end of high school, and just like a super fun movie. I still enjoy watching it. I do have issues with its pacing, but that doesn't take it out of thumbs up into thumbs middle or anything. It's just like a minor me being annoyed with how long things take sometimes. It's more of an old man complaint than an actual film complaint.
That's right. You are old.
I am old, as we've determined. I am
a lot today.
Yeah, a lot older. I am more than three older.
More than three older.
It's about what I'm going to commit to with math right now. Well, with that said, I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
And this has been another amazing,
120,
beautiful, hot, sexy episode of Thinking Outside the Long Box. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.